Sometimes the worst and hardest things happen. So how do we move forward? You're listening to part one of Dr. Rocky Ramsey's message on moving forward. What can we learn from Jacob's story in the Bible? Let's talk about the when and why of moving forward. Turn to Genesis 48, verse 7.
There's a John Lennon song that says, "Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans." All of us have some idea of what we wished life was like. We have an idea of what we wished our life was like and how it would go. I'm assuming by now you've discovered that it doesn't go that way. It doesn't always go that way. If we're honest, we'd probably say it doesn't usually go the way that we wished it was. So life is what it is, and what it is often not what we wished it was. When life is what we wished it wasn't, which it so often is, a lot of people get stuck. So life goes on, but they stay stuck. We don't go on. We get stuck by some past disappointment, betrayal, or loss. We've got to learn to move forward so that our past doesn't dictate our future. You can't move forward when you keep looking back. It's still straight in your car. And your car, you have this itty bitty rear view mirror up in the front, right? For looking back. And then you've got this great big windshield for looking forward. Why? Because you're supposed to spend most of your time going forward and looking forward, very little time looking back and going backwards. In Genesis chapter 48, Jacob has now been brought to Egypt by Joseph. We'll tell a little bit of that story later, but I won't now. And he's telling Joseph about the part of his life that Joseph missed when they were separated for at least 20 years. We're not sure exactly how many, but at least 20. And in verse 7, Jacob tells Joseph about his mother, Rachel. It's in your outline. Genesis 48, 7. "When I came to Padan, Rachel died to my sorrow in the land of Canaan on the journey while there was still some distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath," that is Bethlehem. In other words, it's another name for the town of Bethlehem. So in your outline, first, let's look at learning from Jacob's experience. Number one, sometimes the worst things happen. Sometimes the worst things happen. In Ecclesiastes 8:14, we're told that bad things happen not just to bad people, but to good people. In Ecclesiastes 7:15, it tells us that sometimes the good people die young and bad people live long lives. In Ecclesiastes 9:11, it tells us that time and chance overtake us all. In other words, stuff happens and it happens to everybody. So if you love God, stuff's going to happen. If you don't love God, stuff's going to happen. Things are going to be like you wish they weren't. We have a great example of this in the life of Job. Job 1:1 tells us that Job was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. So Job obviously is a really good guy. So wouldn't you expect that everything, if he's a really good guy, wouldn't everything go well for Job? Well, it didn't. In Job 1:13-19, in one tragic day, Job lost all of his children and his vast fortune. He was the richest man in his day. He was the Elon Musk of his time. In Job 2, chapter 2, verses 7 to 8, he loses his health and nearly dies. So no matter who you are, no matter how much you love Jesus, sometimes the worst things happen. Among other things, for Jacob, it was losing the love of his life, Joseph's mother, Rachel. Sometimes worse things happen. Number two, life is what it is, not what we wished it was. Life is what it is, not what we wished it was. Some people, some Christians think, some preachers teach them to think this way, that if we're Christians, or at least good ones, then somehow we're exempt from the pain of living in a cursed world. We'll never have problems, difficulties, struggle with depression, or all those kinds of things. Jesus never promised that we wouldn't have pain and loss in this life. In fact, he promised that we would. Look at John 16:33 there in your outline. He says, "In the world, you're going to have tribulation. He never promised us a pain-free life here. He's promised us a pain-free life in heaven, but not here. Life can be hard. It can be hard for anybody, and at times it's hard for everybody. Knowing, loving, obeying, and following Jesus makes it easier. It does not make it easy. So life is what it is, not what we wished it was. It can at times be everything we wished it wasn't. How many of you have been through one of those seasons? Right now, life is everything I wished it wasn't. Tough times. Jacob had been lied to by his other sons who sold his favorite son, Joseph, into slavery. He was told that Joseph was dead. Jacob had grieved the loss of Joseph for more than 20 years. It wasn't until he saw the wagons that Joseph sent to get him in Genesis chapter 45, verse 27, that as the Bible puts it, his spirit revived, which means he had been in at least a 20-year depression. He got stuck. He never got over losing Joseph, but now his spirit revived. And then he lost Rachel. Life is what it is, not what we wished it was. Number three, we must move forward when we'd rather give up or quit. We must move forward when we'd rather give up or quit. How many of you have felt like giving up or quitting at least once? I just quit. I've just given up. It's not worth it. I'm checking out. Notice that Genesis chapter 48, what Genesis 48, 7 says. Jacob lost Rachel, watch this, on the journey while there was still some distance to go. Rachel's life was over. Jacob's life wasn't. Things can happen that end chapters in our lives, like the loss of a loved one. But there are more chapters to live. We can't give up or quit. God still has a plan for our life. And that plan is for us to keep going, to move forward. Look at these verses in your outline about moving forward. In Philippians 3:13, Paul says, one thing I do. Remember the move? There was a guy named Curly who said, there's just one thing. I can't remember what some Western movie. There's just one thing. So Paul says, one thing I do. What is it, Paul? Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Now, watch this. Paul doesn't just happen to let go of the past. He doesn't just happen to do that. He deliberately lets go of it. He deliberately lets go. He forgets it. He chooses to forget it, move forward, put it behind him. Jesus said in Luke 9:62 that no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So walking with the Lord is moving forward. When I quit moving forward, I've quit walking with the Lord. If I say that I can't move forward, it's just too hard, then what I'm really saying is that I do not trust the love, the goodness, and the strength of God. I do not trust it. Therefore, I can't move forward. When I don't move forward, it's not that God is insufficient. The problem is that I am deficient. I'm not trusting in the God of the Bible. I'm trusting in a weakened version of Him that I have in my head. I'm trusting in a God who is not able, and therefore I stay stuck, rather than a God who is able, and therefore I will not stay stuck. So we've got to move forward when we'd rather give up or quit. Jacob likely felt like quitting when he lost Joseph. He likely felt like it again when he lost Rachel. But there was still life to go. He was on a journey, and there was some distance to go. How many of you have buried somebody you love? All over this place. You buried them on the journey. On your journey, their journey came to an end. Yours did not. There's still some distance to go. So we have to move forward, which begs the question, when must we move forward? What are the kind of circumstances that we have to move forward from? Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but I think what I've done is taken the two primary areas that are most difficult to move forward from. So here they are. Number one, we must move forward when people aren't who we wish they were. We must move forward when people aren't who they wished they were. Not only is life sometimes what we wished it wasn't, people are often who we wish they were not. Not only is life sometimes exactly what we hoped it would not be, sometimes we find out that people are exactly who we hoped they would not be. I've given you two examples of this in your outline. One example is, number one, when people have disappointed us. When people disappoint you, it makes you want to quit. It makes you want to give up, especially if you had a bunch of them. You think, is it even worth it? Can you trust anybody? I just think I'll just shut down and protect myself. When people disappoint us, you're going to get disappointed by people, write this down somewhere, all of your life. All of your life, people are going to disappoint you. Some of them are going to mean to. Most of them won't. But they'll disappoint you. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes 7, 20 to 22. It says, there's not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. And then he gives us an example. Do not take seriously all words which are spoken, so that you will not hear your servant cursing you. For you also have realized that you likewise have many times cursed others. I put three things in your outline under that. Number one, all people are people. I told you this is a thinking man's church. You wouldn't have figured that out, have you, would you? All people are people. Number two, all people disappoint people. All means all. You do, I do. The person who disappointed you does. Number three, we are people. I get disappointed and I disappoint. I sure don't want to disappoint people. I try not to disappoint people. But the truth is, sometimes I do. And sometimes you do. There are no perfect people. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. In every relationship, think about it. In every relationship except mine with my wife, because I'm a smart man, okay? But all the rest of them in the world, every person that you love, there's something about them that you consider to be less than optimal. I've tried to say that the nicest way I could, okay? There's something about them that's less than optimal. There's something you'd like to change, okay? Isn't that true? So you can focus on that, that part you'd like to change, and you can just get real disappointed with them. It may just be 1% of who they are. But you can obsess with it and you're in trouble. Or you can focus on all the good, the 99% or 80% or however much it is, and think, this is a great person that I'm married to. This is a great friend that I have. Perfect? No. But look at how good they are, all the good there are. We like and love people because of what we like and love about them. But there's nobody that we like and love ever about everything about. And if you think you do, you just don't know them well enough yet, okay? There'll be something. If you throw people away for any imperfection, you're going to throw everybody away. And if you have to be perfect for people to love or like you, you're a goner. Now, those two sentences right there are worth about 6 months of therapy. If people have to be perfect, you're not going to have any friends. And if you got to be perfect, nobody's going to like you. But they said something about me. So you've never said anything bad about anybody. If that's you, stand up. And the next question will be, we'll all just point and say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Somebody will light you up. Don't you wish that was true when people lie, their pants just catch on fire? I'd pay to go watch certain preachers. But what they said hurt me. And you've never been hurt and mad and said something negative about somebody that you maybe later regretted, or maybe you didn't. Sure you have. Don't you find it interesting how harmless and forgivable it is when we do something, and how damaging and unforgivable it is when someone else does it? Aren't we hypocrites if we do that? I've recently posted this on Facebook. Forgiveness is medicine for the soul. Forgiveness is deciding that the way you want things to be will determine what you think and say and do moving forward. Otherwise, you allow what has already been thought, said, and done in the past to continue to dictate the relationship in the future. People who forgive are strong, not weak. They're wise, not naive. Spiritual, mature, big people initiate reconciliation. They let go of the past. They extend forgiveness. Now, we're great at doing this with our children, aren't we? I mean, they can offend us 100 times, and we give them the bat and say, go hit again. Give them another at bat. But boy, we can be lousy at doing this with other people. They care, big people care more about relationships than they care about being right. If you can only have relationships with those who have a perfect record with you, you won't have any relationships, not for long. A little bit of marriage advice. You need to care about the two of you being right more than you care about you being right. Because if you care about being right, the two of you won't be right for long. You got to care more about the relationship than you do your opinions. And some of us, won't we die on any hill? Because of where we've come from, how we've been broken as children, we would fight to the death for any opinion we have. We have to be right because we think if I'm not right, I'm not perfect, and I'm not perfect, I'm nobody. And nobody would ever like, want, or love me. It's not true. It's not true. And are we glad, back to my tip by post, and are we glad that God doesn't hold us hostage to what we've thought, said, and done in the past? He allows what he wishes to be, what he wants us to become, to determine his behavior toward us moving forward. So if God wanted to judge us all for what we've done, said, and thought, we're all goners. But instead he says, I'll forgive you and I'll relate to you on the basis of what I hope you're going to say, hope you're going to do, and hope you're going to think. Have you been disappointed by somebody? You got to let it go and move on. Isn't that what you hope they'll do if you disappoint them? And if you don't let it go and move forward, then you allow the past to determine the future. You allow what happened to determine the relationship rather than what you wish the relationship could be. And let me tell you another thing we do. When we get hurt by somebody and we don't want to try to fix it, we just act like we don't care they hurt us. I just don't care. I don't care if we ever get it right. You know what you're doing? You're on a river in Egypt. It's called denial, okay? And you're living in denial. That's just the easier thing to do. It's easier to be mad than it is to be sad. That's why we're so often angry. Mad sounds so strong, and sad sounds so weak. Weeping feels so weak, and yelling and coming over the top of somebody feels so strong. They're both the same thing. The same thing. Angry people are sad people who don't know how to deal with their sadness. We've got to move forward when people disappoint us. Number two under that, we've got to move forward when people have betrayed us. Now, probably most of us in here have felt betrayed at one time. If you're in the ministry, you become an expert at this, okay? But we've been betrayed at some time. Look at Psalm 55, 12 to 13. The Psalms are great writings. David writes a lot of them. The other psalmists, they just write from their heart. They just tell it like it is, tell what they feel. They pray great prayers like, God, knock his teeth out. You ever prayed a prayer like that? It's biblical. Knock his teeth out. You go, that's how I feel. I said, right, that's why the Psalms are in there. So here's David saying, it's not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who's exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it's you, a man my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. Oh, that hurts. That hurts when somebody you counted on, when you somebody thought you could trust. Sometimes we move forward in a relationship Sometimes we have to move forward from a relationship. Everything that gets broken doesn't always get fixed. But we have to let go of the anger of being betrayed, or the betrayal attaches itself to our souls. You forget that person, you don't let them off the hook, you let yourself off of their hook. Does that make sense? You're not letting them off the hook when you forgive them. You're getting your emotions off of their hook. Otherwise, you stay angry. Forgetting what lies behind is a choice that we make. It's not amnesia. It's not amnesia. Yeah, they hurt me. It hurt a lot. I chose to not let it continue to hurt me. I'm moving forward. And you do. And you do. If we don't forget what lies behind, we can't move forward. Not like we're supposed to. Look at Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another, that means putting up with the things in others we wished weren't. Forgiving each other when we've been disappointed, when we've been betrayed. Whoever has complained against anyone, just as God forgave you, so also should you. How many of you have betrayed God? How many of you said you'd do something and did it? It wouldn't do something and did it. Some of you promised in actual prayers, God, I swear I'll never do it again. And you did it again. Aren't you glad God is so willing to forgive? When you become like him, that's the kind of person you become. We must move forward when people aren't who we wish they were. And don't forget that all of us at times are people that we wish that others wished we weren't. Every one of us. Now here's the second one. Not only do we move forward from people when they're not who we wish they were. Number two, we must move forward when life isn't what we wished it was. We must move forward when life isn't what we wished it was. So there are people who are not who we wish they were. And then life is so often what we wished it wasn't. In fact, there's almost always something in our lives that is not the way we wished it was. How many of you right now can think of something in your life that is not the way you wished it was, okay? I need more appendages to raise. It's not the way I wished it was. When life is as we wished it was, which is a lot, we have to move forward. So we move forward when life is good. We move forward when life is hard. So when is life what we wished it wasn't? Number one under that, when someone we love is taken from us. When someone we love is taken from us. This was the case when Jacob lost Joseph. This was the case in Genesis 48:7 when Jacob lost Rachel. It was the case when David lost his best friend, Jonathan. It talks about it in 2 Samuel 11:25-26. We all eventually lose people we love. The older you get, the more of them you've lost. We can't get stuck or quit. We have to move forward. We lose those people on our journey while there's still some distance to go. So everybody in here is going to bury somebody we love. We got to keep going. Now think about this. If the person you lost really loved you, okay, then wouldn't they want you to move forward? If they really loved you, do you think they're up in heaven thinking, boy, I hope he gets stuck. I hope he quits. I hope he or she just stays depressed and just the rest of their life is miserable because I'm not in it. I'm telling you, anybody would think that doesn't love you. Anybody that loved you says, I hope they go on. I hope they laugh again, live again, maybe love again. I want the best for them. I want them to be happy. I want them to have joy. I want them to move forward. So we have to move forward when someone we love is taken from us. Some of you in here, many of you buried your parents. Some of you buried siblings. Some of you buried children. Has anybody buried a grandchild? I don't know if anybody's buried a grandchild in here. A whole nother level. So we got to move forward when life is not what we wished it was. And sometimes that's when we lose somebody that we love. Number two under that, we've got to move forward when life, when the life we wanted is taken from us. When the life we wanted is taken from us. Not some person, but the life we wanted. So sometimes it's not a person that we love that we lose. It's something we loved about our lives that we lose. Consider these three true statements about life I put there in your outline. First one is this. Life was what it is, not what we wished it was.
You've just heard the first half of Dr. Rocky Ramsey's message on moving forward. Join us next time for part two and the rest of this message. And don't forget to subscribe to the CoryTinCast podcast for free today. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to CoryTinCast, the official podcast of Coryton Church. If you have any questions at all, visit us online at CoryTinChurch.com or drop us a message or comment on social media. We're at Coryton Church. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we pray God's richest blessings on your life. Give us a rating, hit subscribe, and have a fantastic day.